Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 36. Church of the ever-living God, the Father's gracious choice, amid the voices of this earth, how mighty is thy voice. Hymn number 36. The scriptural this morning will be given by Dale from Virginia.
Isaiah 45. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. Psalm 145. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him.
Let's now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 170. Let every creature hail the morn on which the Holy Child was born, and know, through God's exceeding grace, release from things of time and place. I listen from no mortal tongue to hear the song the angels sung, and wait within myself to know the Christmas lilies bud and blow. Hymn number 170.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent. We begin our Sundays here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other topics that need to be discussed, and learn how to practice better in our lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you'll also be able to find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m. And that Sunday school is actually available to children just about anywhere. It has its own teleconference number. And many of our Sunday school attendants who do not live in the area attend via telephone. And that means that if you don't live in the area and have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call us. Call the church. We'll be happy to give you the number. And our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives literally saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And this year, that will include Christmas Day. December 25th is a Wednesday, and we will have our regular Wednesday evening service that day, that evening. We're also going to have our annual Christmas Eve service this coming Christmas Eve on Tuesday, December 24th. So please take time to dial in or join us if you can. And the time of that service will be announced soon. And at all of our services, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So if you do join us in person, you can bring the whole family. We have 18 different websites in 18 different languages, which bring the healing truth of Christian Science to people around the world, in many cases in their own language. And we are very grateful for those of you who have found one or more of our websites and who have found the healing truth of Christian Science. And everything that's available on our websites is the very finest of Christian Science literature. And everything is free of charge. You can read, listen, download, print, anything and everything that is on our website free of charge. And I'd like to point out one of the articles that's being featured now on our English language website. Very timely and very appropriate, I think, entitled Trusting God, by the Reverend G.A. Kratzer. Excellent article on what it means to really trust God. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Lisa from Ohio.
Page 600, Rheumatism Healed. I was a great sufferer from a serious form of rheumatic trouble, my hands being affected to such an extent that it was impossible for me even to dress without assistance. The trouble finally reached the knees, and I became very lame and had to be assisted in and out of bed, I went to the different health resorts for the benefit I hoped to derive from the baths and waters that were prescribed by physicians, but found no permanent relief. I was placed under an X-ray examination and was told that the joints were becoming ossified. I then consulted a celebrated specialist who, after a thorough examination, said my condition would continue to grow worse and that I would become completely helpless. At that time, a copy of Science and Health, The Key to the Scriptures, by Mrs. Eddy was loaned me. I read it more from curiosity than with the thought of any physical benefit. As the truth was unfolded to me, I realized that the mental condition was what needed correcting, and that the spirit of truth which inspired this book was my physician. My healing is complete, and the liberation in thought is manifest in a life of active usefulness rather than the bondage of helpless invalidism and suffering. I owe to our beloved leader, Mrs. Eddy, gratitude which words cannot express. Her revelation of the practical rather than the merely theoretical application of Jesus' words, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," proved to be my redeemer. I did not even have to apply to a practitioner, but am most grateful for the helpful words of loving friends. EBB, Pasadena, California.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural text and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 22 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: God, the only cause and creator. The golden text is from Proverbs. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. The responsive reading is from Psalms. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens.
When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained.
What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him.
For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor.
Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Bruce will now read.
I will read from the Bible. Psalms. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Ecclesiastes To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. 1 Kings. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. 2 Kings. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, Pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Joel. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Lenny from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Everything in God's universe expresses Him. He is divine principle, love, the universal cause, the only creator, and there is no other self-existence. He is all-inclusive and is reflected by all that is real and eternal and by nothing else. He fills all space. And it is impossible to conceive of such omnipresence and individuality except as infinite spirit or mind. Man, reflecting God's power, has dominion over all the earth and its hosts. From beginning to end, the scriptures are full of accounts of the triumph of spirit, mind, over matter. Moses proved the power of mind by what men call miracles. So did Joshua, Elijah, and Elisha. Christian Science explains all cause and effect as mental, not physical. In divine science, the universe, including man, is spiritual, harmonious, and eternal. The compounded minerals, or aggregated substances composing the earth, the relations which constituent masses hold to each other, the magnitudes, distances, and revolutions of the celestial bodies are of no real importance when we remember that they all must give place to the spiritual fact by the translation of man and the universe back into spirit. In proportion as this is done, man and the universe will be found harmonious and eternal. The material senses and human conceptions would translate spiritual ideas into material beliefs and would say that an anthropomorphic God, instead of infinite principle, in other words, divine love, is the father of the rain, who hath begotten the drops of dew, who bringeth forth Maseroth in his season, and guideth Arcturus with his sons. God creates all through mind, not through matter. The plant grows not because of seed or soil, but because growth is the eternal mandate of mind. Mortal thought drops into the ground, but the immortal creating thought is from above, not from beneath. Because mind makes all, there is nothing left to be made by a lower power. Spirit acts through the science of mind, never causing man to till the ground, but making him superior to the soil. Belief in a material basis, from which may be deduced all rationality, is slowly yielding to the idea of a metaphysical basis, looking away from matter to mind as the cause of every effect. Materialistic hypotheses challenge metaphysics to meet in final combat. In this revolutionary period, like the shepherd boy with his sling, woman goes forth to battle with Goliath. In this final struggle for supremacy, semi-metaphysical systems afford no substantial aid to scientific metaphysics, for their arguments are based on the false testimony of the material senses, as well as on the facts of mind. These semi-metaphysical systems are one and all pantheistic and savor of pandemonium, a house divided against itself. The scriptures are very sacred. Our aim must be to have them understood spiritually, for only by this understanding can truth be gained. The true theory of the universe, including man, is not in material history, but in spiritual development. Inspired thought relinquishes a material, sensual, and mortal theory of the universe and adopts the spiritual and immortal. Love, redolent with unselfishness, bathes all in beauty and light. The grass beneath our feet silently exclaims, "The meek shall inherit the earth." The modest arbutus sends her sweet breath to heaven. The great rock gives shadow and shelter. The sunlight glints from the church dome, glances into the prison cell, glides into the sick chamber, brightens the flower, beautifies the landscape, blesses the earth. Man, made in his likeness, possesses and reflects God's dominion over all the earth. The seasons will come and go with changes of time and tide, cold and heat, latitude and longitude. The agriculturalist will find that these changes cannot affect his crops. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. The mariner will have dominion over the atmosphere and the deep, over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air. The astronomer will no longer look up to the stars. He will look out from them upon the universe, and the florist will find his flower before its seed. Entirely separate from the belief and dream of material living is the life divine, revealing spiritual understanding and the consciousness of man's dominion over the whole earth. This understanding casts out error and heals the sick, and with it you can speak as one having authority. Love will finally mark the hour of harmony, and spiritualization will follow, for love is spirit. Before error is wholly destroyed, there will be interruptions of the general material routine. Earth will become dreary and desolate, but summer and winter, seed time and harvest, although in changed forms, will continue unto the end, until the final spiritualization of all things. The darkest hour precedes the dawn. This material world is even now becoming the arena for conflicting forces. On one side, there will be discord and dismay. On the other side, there will be science and peace. The nearer a false belief approaches truth, without passing the boundary where, having been destroyed by divine love, it ceases to be even an illusion, the riper it becomes for destruction. The more material the belief, the more obvious its error, until divine spirit, supreme in its domain, dominates all matter, and man is found in the likeness of spirit, his original being. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. This scripture indicates that all matter will disappear before the supremacy of spirit.
Let's now have a moment of prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 25. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Blessed Christmas morn, though murky clouds pursue thy way, thy light was born where storm enshrouds, nor dawn nor day. Hymn number 25.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 62. From all that dwell below the skies, let the Creator's praise arise. Let the Redeemer's name be sung through every land, by every tongue. Hymn number 62.
Christian Science textbook, the scientific statement of being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God. And man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. And from 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Matthew. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen.